from Utah and University of New South Wales. So you've seen that bad devices and bad device code can cause lots of problems. So she's proposed that instead we just synthesize them with challenges. And here it also has a demo.
Thanks, Philip. Can you hear me well? Cool. Okay, so I'm going to present yet another way to build reliable device drivers. To reiterate what other presenters have already mentioned, drivers are difficult to develop, they contain a lot of bugs, and they cause the majority of operating system crashes. The reason why drivers are so difficult to get right is because to develop a good driver, you must be an expert kernel programmer, while also having in-depth understanding of how the particular device works. In practice, most driver developers are experts in one of these areas in the best case, which is, the main reason behind the poor reliability of device drivers. So the goal of our work is to reduce the effect of human errors in driver reliability by generating drivers automatically, by automating the driver development process. So, this is how drivers are developed nowadays. All the knowledge that you need to write a device driver is obtained from two specifications. The first one is the specification of the interface between the driver and the OS, and this usually consists of various bits of documentation, header files, sample code, etc. And the second one is the device specification, which is usually provided by the device manufacturer in the form of device datasheet. So the task of the driver developer is to study these two specifications and use this knowledge to come up with a driver implementation which translates OS requests into sequences of commands to the device. Which is a relatively straightforward process, yet it's highly error-prone. So our idea is to replace these informal specifications with formal ones that can be analyzed by our tool, which is called Termite, in order to generate drivers automatically. This approach has some important advantages, the main one being the separation of concern between the specifications. The device specification only describes the software interface of the device. It's completely independent of any OS data structures, protocols, or any subtleties of kernel programming. Likewise, the OS interface describes the standard functionality of a family of similar drivers, for example, Ethernet controller drivers, and is completely independent of any device-specific details. So this way, each specification can be written by people who have the right kind of expertise. So obviously the device vendor is in the best position to write the device spec, and the OS vendor, the developers are in the best position to provide the OS spec. So there's no more need for a single person to be an expert in both the device and the OS. Another advantage is reuse. If you write drivers manually, then you need a driver for each device and for each operating system where you want this device, where you want to be able to use the device. Here, in contrast, a single device specification can be used to generate drivers for different operating systems, and a single OS specification can be used to generate many different drivers for this particular OS. So how does it work? What I'm going to do is I will explain the basic ideas behind driver synthesis using a real trivial example, and then I will explain how this approach can be extended to generate real drivers. So, in this example, we want to generate a driver for a very simple GPIO controller device, which manages one GPIO line. A GPIO line is basically one drive, which can be in the high or low voltage state. And the goal of the GPIO controller is to allow the software to control the state of this wire. To this end, it implements two registers, which are accessible from software. The control register is used to switch the device on and off by writing 1 and 0 respectively. When the device is on, writing the value to the data register changes the state of the GPIO line to the corresponding voltage level. So the first thing we need to generate a driver for this device is the device spec. We use state machines, finding state machines is the basic formula for writing such specs. So this is the state machine of this device. Each transition here corresponds to an interaction between the device and the driver, possible interaction, potential interaction. So exclamation mark means that this interaction is initiated by the driver. So for example, like writing a device register. So transition from the off to the on state is triggered by writing 1 to the control register. Transition from on back to off is triggered by writing 0 to the control register. The loop transition in the on state is triggered by writing a value to the data register. And to keep the example simple, I'm going to ignore the action. I'm not going to check model's action value written. This transition triggers the change level event, which represents the fact that writing a value to the data register changes the state of the GPLA. This is not a some event which is visible at the interface of the driver. It's an internal event which just provides some information about what happened to the device. So the second specification we need is the specification. And in this example, we assume that the only kind of request that the driver can receive from the JS is a request to send the state of the GPIO line to 1 or 0. So in the initial state, the on-end transition is set. And the question mark here means that it's a message received by the driver from outside, from the JS in this case. Once the driver gets request, it must set the value of the GPIO line as requested, which is represented by the change level event, which you've already seen. And then send the completion, a set complete message to notify the it's done with the request, it's completed the request. So the key element in these specifications is this change level event. It occurs in both the device and the heuristic machine, which allows the synthesis algorithm to relate the two specifications to each other. This event is selected in such a way that it describes common functionality of any GPIO line, not be supported by any GPIO controller. Which is why it's safe to use it inside the specification without introducing any dependencies on the device specification. Alright, so how do we generate a driver from the specifications? The first step is to take these two state machines and create another state machine which represents all possible legal behaviors of the driver. And this state machine is computed as a synchronized parallel product of the interface state machines. So this is how we do this. Each state in the product state machine corresponds to a pair of states in the initial state machines. So the initial state corresponds to a pair of initial states. In the initial state, you can either do the set transition defined in the device state machine or the control write transition defined in the device state machine. If you do set, the next available action is control write, as defined in the device spec. Another transition which is allowed in the device spec in this state is the change level. However, because the change level event also occurs in the device state machine, and it's not allowed by the device state machine in the current state, it is disabled. So we don't do that. The next thing we can do is either control write 0, as defined by the device state machine, or data write, which is also defined in the device state machine. Now the data write transition triggers the change level event, which in turn triggers the change level transition in the aspect. So the two state machines here perform the transition synchronously in parallel. So we continue building the thing. Same way, this is what we get in there. So this product state machine has the property that any trace in the state machine represents a legal behavior of the driver, in the sense that it doesn't violate any of its interface specifications. However, not every such trace is a desirable one. For example, it is possible that after getting a set request, the driver goes into an infinite loop, switching the device on and off infinitely many times, which is obviously not something you want a good driver to do. So to eliminate this kind of harmful behaviors, I want to go back to the OS spec and introduce some additional constraints there. Specifically, we want to say that after getting the set message, the driver must eventually change the state of the GPIO line as requested. So the change level transition must eventually happen. And syntactically, this is expressed by associating this timeout label with it. We also associate the timeout label with the set complete transition. And here it means that we want the driver to eventually send the completion message back to the OS. The OS knows that the request has been completed. So these timeout transitions, they essentially define goals of the driver. They tell the synthesis algorithm to compute such behavior for the driver that the goals will eventually be achieved. So it computes that behavior and then it eliminates all the transitions in the product state machine which do not lead to the goals. So we end up with a pulled down version of the product state machine. It's easy to see that this state machine actually does what we would like a correct driver to do. In the initial state, it waits for the set message. It switches the device on, sets the state of the GPIO line by writing the data register, and then sets the completion message back. If it gets another request, the device is already on, so we can write the data register straight away, and then send the completion message. Now, you may notice that this state machine is missing a transition to switch the device off. This is because to keep things really simple, My specification didn't contain such type of request, so it didn't end up being in the result of state machine. Of course, a real driver would do that as well. So this represents our driver algorithm. This is what we're after. And the last step is to translate this into a driver implementation written in C. This is a fairly straightforward process. It's described in the paper, and I'm not going into more details. So hopefully this gives you a general idea of how driver synthesis, or the basic principles of driver synthesis. Obviously we need some adjustments to this process to generate real drivers. And first of all, certain scenarios are nice for modeling trivial behaviors, but they don't really scale to modeling real complex device address protocols. For example, this diagram shows the internal structure of a real live device. Like any real device, it contains multiple functional units inside itself. And it cannot be feasibly modeled as one flat state machine. Instead, we want to specify it as a system of communicating state machines. So to support this kind of behaviors, Termite, instead of using the flat visual syntax for state machine, it defines its own specification language, which among other things allows you to explicitly model systems of communicating state machines. So, for example, this fragment of the device spec tells that the device consists of four state machines, where each state machine represents a single functional unit inside the device. Also, to model the device, we need to model its registers and how the device reacts to the software written or writing its registers. So, to support this, our specification language provides means to define and manipulate data. For example, this declaration declares a variable which represents the content of the command register, and then the next line tells us that issuing a write to the reset register resets the value of the command register to zero. Okay, so having an expressive specification language is part of the problem. The other part of the problem is having an algorithm, a synthesis algorithm that can handle this kind of specifications. And one complication here is the state explosion problem. So remember how in this GPIO example, the product state machine consisted of six states. For real drivers, it can easily be as large as 10 to the power of 6 or more states. Obviously, it's really difficult to manipulate this kind of state space efficiently. However, we notice that after performing the pruning, the resulting eventual driver state machine is usually several orders of magnitude smaller than the product state machine. So we implemented an optimization Termite whereby we compute the product state machine incrementally while performing the pruning on the fly, which actually turns out to be quite an efficient technique for dealing with the state explosion problem. Another source of state explosion is dealing with data. If you manipulate data in the straightforward way during driver synthesis, then you have to model all possible assignments of each variable. And if you do that, then complexity quickly goes out of hand. So what we do instead is we manipulate data symbolically. So instead of keeping track of the actual value of each variable, we keep track of relations between variables, which is the standard technique used in model checking, and it's also a full factor in driver synthesis. So we implemented the Termite tool, which supports all these optimizations, and we were able to use it to generate real drivers for non-trivial devices. So in particular, we built a driver for an ASICS USB to Ethernet adapter device and a RICO ZDFS controller device. And first we built them, we synthesized them both for Linux. But then to confirm our then to confirm that device specifications can be reused across different operating systems, we also generated the ZDFS controller driver for FreeBSD. So important thing here is this did not require any changes to the device specification. It only required replacing the base specification from Linux to the boot driver. So this table shows some statistics about the size of real specifications and the size of the synthesized driver. And one good thing here is that the device spec, which is the only thing you have to write to support a new device, is much smaller than manually written Linux driver. Admittedly, this is a little bit of apple to oranges comparison because they're written in different languages. So the device spec is obviously in the Termite specification language, and the Linux driver is in C. Besides, just because it's smaller doesn't necessarily mean that it's easier to write. Still, it's looks like a good result. Not so good news is that the size of the generating driver C is much larger than the main generating driver. And that's because our code generation is not optimized at all. There's a lot of space for generating better code, so this gap will be made much narrower. But this raises a more general question of how do you deal with this optimized generating code? As long as your driver works fine, you don't care how it's implemented internally. If you run into any problems, and you can run into problems even with generating drivers, this happens, for example, if there is a bug in the specification. Well, in fact, it can only happen if there is a bug in the specification. So either the OS or the device doesn't behave the way you expect it to. Then things can go wrong, and then you need to debug the driver. So how do you debug this pile of automatically generated code? The answer is you don't need to debug it at the source code level. Just like you do not debug your C program at the assembly level, you do not debug generating drivers at the C level. You debug it at the state machine level. So, this is how the Termite debugger looks like. So it loads and visualizes the state machine of the driver. It connects to the actual driver running in the kernel. So actually I have this laptop connected to this Ethernet device. So it's all live. So you can single step the driver. You can set breakpoints and run to the breakpoint as you would do for a normal debugger. So set breakpoint. Okay, so what's going to happen now is something that will go bad, because I intentionally broke the specification to do something that... So the OS will now do something that the driver doesn't expect, which will ask it to read the MAC address, and my specification tells that in this state, the OS never issues this request. So it's going to be a surprise for the driver. So what happens here, the debugger tells you that something just went wrong. It also tells you where it went wrong, so it's this state here. And it tells you what exactly happened. It tells you that this transition was attempted. However, as you can see, this state does not have a transition. Of course you can see because labels are too small. But there is no transition with such label in this state. So what you can do now is you can easily go back to your OS specification and find inconsistencies there and fix it. So we also measure the performance of the drivers, both in terms of CPU utilization and I/O throughput. And it was very, as you can see, it's very close, essentially equivalent to the performance of native Linux drivers, which is good. So in general, this is all very encouraging. You can do real drivers without sacrificing performance automatically. Still, there are some limitations in the current tool that we need to deal with before we can say goodbye to many written drivers, many developed drivers. So first of all, currently Termite does not allow you to specify constraints on data in memory. So if you need to, for example, represent a DMA buffer, you can model it as address and size pair, which is sufficient if all you need to do is take this buffer from the OS and pass it down to the device. However, if you need to specify some manipulations in those buffers, such as changing its alignment, fragmentation, adding headers, the only way to do it now is to invoke C functions from the specification. So you cannot model it directly in Termite. Another limitation is that our symbolic execution engine is currently very NPU. It only handles simple relations between variables, so we need to extend it to handle more complex relations to generate more drivers from more complex devices. And there are some other restrictions which are described in the paper. None of these are conceptual ones. We are working on eliminating them. One real conceptual limitation of Termite is that while it does generate a driver for you, you have to write the specifications manually. This is particularly a problem for the device spec. Although it's smaller than the OS spec, than the real driver, and it also has a benefit of reuse, so you write it once and generate drivers from different places, it's still a big piece of work, and it's a potential source of errors. So the best way to produce the specification at the moment is to manually derive it from the hardware description and specification of the device. So basically, look at the HDL, which describes how the actual hardware works. So this is the most precise specification of the device which is possible. You extract away all the internal logic and only keep the interface logic. And then you represent this interface logic in the Jeremiah language. You do it manually. If you look at it, it's basically a translation from one formal language to another, and in principle can be automated. So this is the next kind of big development that we're looking at. If you can do this, then we essentially get fully automated driver generation from HDL. So you write your device in HDL, which you have to do anyway to get your hardware device. You probably add some annotations, and then you get the driver for free. One problem we are facing with this work is that it turns out there is not too much open source hardware around, so we have difficulties finding specifications to work with. So there is an audience building hardware, working for companies that build hardware. And if you want automatically generate drivers for your devices, then please talk to us. So to conclude, we are proposing a new approach to driver development, which consists of automatically generating drivers from two specifications. The device expert provides the device specification, the OS expert provides the OS specification, and then Jeremiah does the rest for you. It's still very much work in progress. There are a number of limitations we're trying to overcome, and we're trying to also extend this approach to generate drivers directly from HDL. So before I take your questions, small announcement. We're probably looking for customizable positions, so if you're looking for a job, you may be interested in looking at this link. Thank you.
First question. George Kande, ESL. I really love this work, and I think that the day when we can actually synthesize all our device drivers will be a great day. Put a lot of the guys here out of business. But I'm wondering, so to make this practical, there's a few questions that come up. One is the issue of performance, whether synthesized drivers can be on par with handwritten drivers. The second question is that of scalability for more complex devices like video cards and some nastier devices, whether the approach can still work. Well, I'll stop there.
So first of all, let me say that I'm not worried at all about having all those people without work because no one likes writing drivers. I don't know if anyone who enjoys this kind of work. So as for the limitations, it's true, this is what we need to work on. So performance, so far we haven't seen performance as being an issue. The thing is, as far as we've seen so far, the way the device is usually designed, it makes the device developer makes some pretty strong assumptions about how the device will be used. And Termite is able to rediscover those assumptions, and it basically generates the same logic as you would write manually. We may see some issues for more complex drivers, but at least we haven't seen them so far.
Also, I think the drivers you looked at are rather simple, but when you have fairly complex data structures that the driver maintains, that's when I wonder if synthesized code can use efficient data structures.
I understand your concern, but so far we haven't seen where it becomes a problem. Scalability is a problem now, and we are trying to develop some more techniques to make it scale for more complex devices. So for example, we are looking at using abstraction refinement to do driver synthesis, because at the moment, even though we do it symbolically, we take into account all relations between all variables, even if they are not essential for generating a particular operation that we're looking at. So there's definitely a need for improvement and space for improvement.
Hi, Alan
Shea,
Cornell University. So I really like this stuff. I have a question about your automatic driver synthesis. I know that a lot of devices today have both firmware and the hardware that would be specified in an HDL. How do you plan to deal with the firmware in the device?
Yeah, that's actually an excellent question. So, well, at the moment it's not a problem because you're writing the specification manually and it describes hardware and firmware as it looks from outside. Once you want to go into generating drivers from HDL, firmware is kind of a problem. So The only idea we have so far is to generate firmwares, but firmware is in a way it's part of the driver, it's part of the software which controls the device. So you have a deal and you generate a firmware and driver to it. Alternatively, we could just still model firmware either with HDL or in some other way which we can manipulate genetically.
Thanks.
You mentioned two different comparisons of your automatically generated drivers versus manually created drivers, comparison of lines of code and of performance in saturating the device. I was wondering about two other metrics, the comparison of actual compiled code and data size, and also comparison of when you're saturating this device, how much CPU utilization you're using.
So I did show CPU figures, and they are the same. For the code and data, at the moment, it doesn't look very good for us. Code is basically proportional to the roughly proportional to the number of lines of source code.
Okay.
And with data, we do keep too much data. We don't analyze which data we can drop. We just keep track of too many things. But we believe that both problems can be solved, can be improved.
Thanks.
David Hall from Harvard. Just a quick expansion of the first question.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Just a quick expansion of the first question. So does application language have room for, you know, port tables and different models of hardware that happens in real drivers?
Sorry, I didn't hear.
Can you show me one?
David Hall from Harvard. Is this working? Just a quick expansion on the first question. Does your specification language have room for things like quirk tables and different models of hardware and other crap that have real drivers?
Which was the first thing? Quirk tables?
Quirk tables.
Perhaps you should take this question.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. I have Timothy Roche, good to hear. This is some very cool stuff. I guess I have a different angle on George's question. Most of these questions seem to be follow-ups to George's question. The OS spec, as I understand it, is intended to be sort of device independent in the sense of, you know, this is an Ethernet driver, for example, this is a GPU, and then you have the device spec that captures all that. And obviously operating systems, people like to have OS, you know, abstract devices into classes, but in practice they never do. They always do. But every device has new features because hardware people like to add, you know, whiz bang new features. And so all these devices are different. And so the drivers all have a standard interface for their class, plus all the interesting stuff on the side that you can get to through obstacles and things like that. Which means that, you know, how does that play with your OS spec? Does that mean I need a different OS spec for every device if I want to take advantage of any value-added features on the device?
Right. So what Moshe is really asking is, this change level event, for example, this middle ground which goes the device and the OS understand, like a shared language between them, how do we make sure that we can define this language which will not be too restrictive so that we can still generate more drivers. So yeah, there is this problem. Basically, we have a basic specification, something that all the other drivers must do, otherwise OS won't be able to use the driver. Then there are some extended features which are semi-standard in the sense that some devices implement them, and you can still include them in the specification as optional features. And then there are things which are unique to this device, which is especially true for very complex devices, some crazy optimization. And to do that, you would need to, you don't need to write a new specification, but you need to extend an existing one to model these new features. Yes.
Do you have any experience of, you know, how much effort that is, or what it means to the saving you get from this kind of specification language when it comes to dealing with multiple devices that are similar or different?
No, we haven't done this. We're pretty confident that it's going to be incremental. So it's not, you're not going to redo any of the work that has been done. You just need to model your new features. We don't have experience with this here.
Last question.
Peter Bruchelman, DISRUS. I love the work. I'm amazed that you can actually generate automatically a device driver for real operating devices. I guess my question is a facet of the other questions that have been asked before. I find find the requirement for a full functional specification of the OS driver interface somewhat intimidating.
Right.
When people have done safety specifications for the Windows driver interface, for instance,
right,
which is no small feat, but you're talking here about a full functional specification, which is, you know, an entirely different ballgame. I'm wondering, you know, what your experience has been so far with doing these partial interfaces for FreeBSD, things, and how you think that would scale to, say, the full Windows driver interface.
Right. So we are quite confident that we can model them because we actually have a lot of experience. Because before this project, we did another one, which was particularly focusing on modeling OS interfaces as precisely as possible. And it was a difficult problem, especially for an OS which is not defined with formal model with interface in mind. But it's generally doable. At some point, we also need to find a domain-specific language for that. But it's a different one from the one that we're using here. Does it answer your question?
Thank you.